it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Titans win 20-17 against the New England Patriots yesterday to get to 2-6. And let's talk more about that. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful today. How are you guys?
We're also delightful. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Thank you.
A nice change of pace, Corey, to be talking about a Titans win on a Monday rather than a loss. Don't you agree?
It is, you know, only made better by the fact that the Packers lost at home this weekend.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you bringing that up. That was good.
Yep, that's no problem. Bears lost to baby Grogu horribly.
Yeah, there's that too. Not very good stuff from the Green Bay Packers yesterday. But very good stuff for the Titans in overtime. They get the win. Yep. They drive down the field, kick the field goal. Monty Hooker gets the game-sealing interception. And, Corey, we saw an emotional Brian Callahan after the game. What did you make of that, his reaction, and what did that kind of signal to you about what it's been like for those coaches so far this season?
Well, look, I mean, we said when he got the job, he seemed like a guy who's been training for this moment his whole life, you know, to be a head coach in the National Football League. And I'm sure, you know, no matter how much you believe in yourself and what you're doing and what you're teaching and what your mantras are, you have a crisis of self when you don't have success. And I'm sure he was having some crisis of self, and he needed to win. And, you know, I don't mind him saying that. I don't, you know, the NFL is very fickle. Because we all know the difference between winning and losing and being good and bad are all, you know, always very, very slim margins. You know, because you can find a way to win, you can certainly find a way to lose. And, you know, I think there's a lot of guys finding that out and just how difficult it is and how much it means. You know, we all talk about the money and, you know, how much money they make, and it's true. It's absolutely true. But in the end, they're boys playing a game to win.
No, I'm with you. I mean, look, it was a human moment. And I think it just, to me, it was a good example, Corey, because, I mean, PK just scolded the fans who would root against their team. I don't go there. I get it. If your team is clearly not going to be competitive in a given year, the draft is important, and so a high pick is something that I understand the idea of, like, you know, wanting to get the highest possible pick when you know your team's not going to go anywhere, and this team's not going anywhere. But at the same time, my whole thing is, like, you have to understand fans that, like, these guys are not tanking. They don't give a crap what you think about the number one pick. It doesn't mean anything to them. It means nothing to these people. And they is very,
all it
very
needs
hard.
Is a better chance for someone to take their job.
Yes,
exactly.
And look, you know, like Brian Callahan, I have no idea. I mean, to me, it's close to unfathomable that he would be fired after this year. You know, but it does happen in the league, and we know that this team's ownership, fickle is not the word. So I just thought it was a human moment. Beyond that, Corey, did you see anything yesterday that leads you to believe there's anything significant changing for the positive moving forward for this team?
Sure. I mean, they gave up one sack, right? And I think there were a number of times where you saw a good clean pocket, you know, to throw from. They had over 400 yards, I think, for the second game in a row. I think I said it last night on our show. Tony Pollard is unquestionably the heartbeat of this team at this point. And as you talk about in identity, I think it's more and more revolving around number 20. I think you had more guys make plays in this game, you know, where we've had kind of one guy to hang on in a game. Oh, hey, well, you know, Ridley did some things. You know, Ridley made plays. You know, he had drops. We saw those. But ultimately, in the end, he made some plays to help this team win the game. Pollard made plays to help this team win the game. Amani Hooker made plays to help this team, you know, win the game. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine made plays to help this team win the game. We had more guys. We saw more guys make plays to win the game. And, you know, you had guys come off the bench who didn't cost you the game. You know, Corey Levin didn't cost you the game. Mike Brown ultimately did not cost you the game. And so there's that.
What about the special teams part of this? There's the press conference last week with Colt Anderson, which was just an unmitigated disaster.
Yep.
Yesterday you had the illegal formation. You had the two returns that you gave up. And while it was progress from the Detroit game, still special teams is just an absolute mess for this team right now.
Well, I asked Kelly after the game, why can't you just punt it out of bounds?
I don't get it.
I mean, because my point was, you know, and he seemed to think that the coverage was better. I think he saw something that we did not. I mean, you
better than like the worst game ever, I guess.
I mean, you gave up a 25-yard punt return with the game on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, against a bad offense. Against a bad, like, the only thing that could hurt you really in that situation is like a bad special teams play, a blocked punt or a big return. Play it safe. Punt it out of bounds. I think they netted 33 yards or something on that punt, because I think it was like a 58-yard punt and a 25-yard return or something. I think that Stonehouse could manage to angle it out for 33 yards or more and not risk the guy housing it. I mean, whether it's personnel, whether it's performance, whether it's a mix of both, they don't have the system in place to cover punts. They don't. Punt it out of bounds. That's, you know, and I like Callie, and I like him as a person and as a coach, and I want him to win, but I will disagree with him respectfully on that. He needs to punt the ball out of bounds because they can't trust it. You cannot trust it to this point. You know, it's proven. And then, you know, first highlight I see from the Chargers is this 55-yard punt return yesterday. Yeah. And I go, oh, God. Here we go.
Yeah. Well, so on the human side there, Corey, with Callahan, as it relates to quarterback, you know,
yeah,
again, people should understand, like, these guys work their butts off. They're out there getting smashed into to try to win a game. They won a game. And I don't think Rudolph was great, but he was pretty good. You know, he was solid.
I think he's what we thought he would be, right?
Yeah, exactly. Do you look at that as any sort of consideration
No.
for this coaching staff? No, not at all. That's
No.
it. Levis is
No.
back in.
Well, because he's not the future. And you need to find out if Levis can be the future or not. Because, I mean, right now that answer looks like no, right? I mean, from what we saw to start the season, it hasn't been great. But you still got half a season to go, okay? And you can find things out in that half a season. Look, if they bench Levis the rest of the way and go with Rudolph, do you still think they're going to go next year and say, we're going to go with Mason Rudolph as our guy, we're going to give him an extension, and he's going to be our guy moving forward? Do you see that scenario happening at all?
No.
Nope. Okay. So what's the point? What's the point? Unless you've pulled the plug on Levis and say, you know, we don't need to evaluate anymore. This is a disaster. We're just going to try to win as many games as we can, and we think this is the path to do it. That's the only way. But if you still actually want to find out if Levis can improve in this scenario with some experience, because it is only year two, and I know people will push back on that, and that's fine, but it's a fact. I mean, go back and look and see what Mason Rudolph was in year two, because it was not what it is today. All right. Mason Rudolph has improved over time. You still have half a season to see if he can take step forwards or not to where you believe in him. And, you know, look, there'd have to be some pretty significant steps. I understand all that, but that's the point. You need to see, you need to know, you need to make informed decisions. And that's the only way they're going to be able to do it.
Corey, the NFL trading deadline tomorrow at 3 o'clock Central Time here. Titans have already made some moves. Do you think more moves could be coming? And kind of related to that, Corey, Arden Key looked awfully good the last 2 weeks here. What do you make of that?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, you know, he's definitely given himself some value where, like, 3 weeks ago I would have said you're not going to really get anything for him. You know, because, he had zero sacks before last week, right?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah. And, you know, he's not just gotten to the quarterback, but he's gotten the ball out, which is the big thing. I mean, he's gotten the ball out in back-to-back weeks. They had three turnovers yesterday, guys. They had three turnovers all season. And two of them that they didn't even create. They're just guys dropping the football. So that was a huge step forward yesterday that I didn't bring up. Defensively, they got the ball out. That was huge. But, yeah, Key, you know, guys who can hit the quarterback have value in this league. How much value Arden Key has, I do not know. And then that goes to the whole question of what's it worth to you to trade him away? I mean, like, if Arizona calls and says, hey, we'll give you a seventh, a conditional sixth if he gets us four sacks the rest of the way, is that worth it to you to have to start Jalen Harrell the rest of the way? And know you've got to find a new starter in the offseason? I mean, that's the questions that I've got, you know, because you've always got to have somebody to replace somebody. And are you prepared to play the rest of the way without 49 on the edge? You know, because he's a guy with value. You know, obviously Landry's got value. But again, do you want to give him away? I mean, because, you know, again, you don't have another Harold Landry. I know he's an imperfect player, but he plays a ton of snaps. He does get to the quarterback. He's extremely reliable. But I don't think I'm prepared to give Harold Landry away for a fifth-round draft pick.
Oh, God, no. No, if a team is taking on that deal, you know, that's the problem is the deal, right? But you'd have to get a significant pick for him. I don't know. But I'm just saying that I'm not even thinking about – he has to be part of the future. But on your point on Arden Key, I think they were going to replace him next year anyway. Like, granted, we don't know what's going to happen with quarterback. But if quarterback is not their choice, don't you think edge probably is? I suppose you can draft another offensive tackle. Look, there's plenty of needs. There are plenty of needs, but they have to replace Key. Yeah, I know.
Tackle, edge, wide receiver, corner are – three spots you can look at in round one. That certainly does not change. And even if Key is back next year, they need to be looking to bring in another quality player at that position.
Agreed.
To at least improve the rotation, because right now they don't have much of a rotation at that spot. And so, yeah. And I guess that's kind of my point. If you get rid of him, you don't have a rotation because you only got one at that point. So, you know, they may look to get rid of him. That's their prerogative. But then to me, they need two.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. Thank you for taking time to be with us this morning. And we'll talk to you next week. Maybe the Titans can win back-to-back here, going out to a place where they've struggled to win, although most of that's been in San Diego, not L.A. So we'll see what they do against the Chargers.
Yeah, and I fear that, you know, the insanity that is Jim Harbaugh does just win games virtually everywhere he goes.
He does.
And that team appears to be just getting better. I mean, they whacked the Browns yesterday. And Herbert's getting better under him. They can run the football. I mean, that's the thing we haven't talked about, is how banged up the Titans are. Yep. And the Chargers are another physical team. This could be a tough matchup from that perspective. That they're a physical team and the Titans are coming in banged up. And by the way, and I know you have to go, I apologize. No one has brought up that the Titans broke the Lions curse.
Yeah. It's funny. I was just going to say that. They're the first team to win after playing the Lions all year. Good job.
Now, they might be the first team to play the Patriots after playing the Lions.
Yeah.
But by the way, I did not cry myself to sleep for Patriot fans that their team is utterly horrible. Their best play was Drake May running for his life.
Yes.
That was their best play.
Yeah.
No. Other than that, they had no real offense.
They're owed
a
few years
of misery.
Yeah, they're owed a few years of just being absolute cheeks. There's no doubt about that.
Well, they're getting cheeks. Nice.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Corey, we'll talk to you next week.
Sir.
Thank you.
All right, go Lions.
Yeah. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll get back into the Titans and the Patriots coming up next. A lot of your thoughts to get to. We'll get into Brian Callahan's emotional reaction, and we found something for Joe Rexroad that's just beautiful that we'll also get to coming up next as well. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Titans win 20-17 against the Patriots yesterday. We are going to get well back into that throughout the show. But we have found the interaction between Joe Rexroad and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine from October of 2021 here on the show. The last time that we heard from NWI on this program. And we'll play just a snippet of it for you. And it's just as beautiful as I remember it being at the time. Here was the conversation between Rexroad and NWI back in October of 2021.
Well, actually, you know what? Maybe I can send this to her. I must admit, like, I don't bring it to games, but yeah. But so the Tighten Up podcast, you're conscious of that then, because, you know, you are the kind of guy who, you know, the undrafted, you struggled a little bit in that first camp. You talked about, right? I mean, you know, some drops and things like that, and you hung in there, made the team. Now you're established here. I guess, you know, the cult hero type thing, you're the type of guy that people root for, right? You're conscious of that.
Yeah, I guess so. I can see that.
Well, that was awkward. I'm sorry, Nick.
No, you're good. I don't want to, I'm not trying to take any attention away from the team, you know. I just do my job out there and just hope that it's good enough.
Oh, God. That was Joe Rexroad, October 2021. Well, that was awkward.
That wasn't actually the part that I was talking about. I don't even remember that part. Jeez, it was even more awkward overall than I remember.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Because if you remember, Robbie, there was a part, though, where I explained to him the situation.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think there was. Maybe we can just, you know, maybe tomorrow in the 6 o'clock hour, we can just run that interview on a loop for like an hour straight, I think. Yeah, there was another part where I'm like, yeah, so anyway, Nick, and I explained the whole thing. And he's like, okay.
I would love glorious. To know what he said to Titans PR after he got done with that interview. He's like, this Robbie and Rexroad, don't ever let me go back on that radio program again.
And the thing is, I mean, we've been requesting him every single week since then. And, you know,
nothing.
It's just one of these weeks.
He and Vrabel.
He's going to say yes. We've actually offered him, like, the job replacing me. And he's still, you know, but at least whenever he hangs it up after, like, six Pro Bowls to come, then that he's got that spot whenever he wants it.
Oh, man. Wow. That was every bit as beautiful as I remember it being at the time.
What a glorious interview.
Yep. Put that one in the Hall of Fame. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
I was really hoping you'd say something about his name. I don't want to follow him, man. He's so freaking awesome. Like, everything he does in life is good. You throw him five balls, he's going to catch five. That's the response. I remember that interview, Joe. That's the answer I would have given. I would have just sat there and made it weird, too, man. He's just cool, man. not why I called. I do love NWI, man, and he's like a very, very minor part of the season. But for the Titans fans out there that are like, we should have blown that team out, we were very depleted. We were a one-win football team heading into yesterday, and there's a reason for it. Like, this stuff just doesn't happen. Like, they're a couple of plays away and probably thought they should beat us too. I guarantee it. Our special teams, though, man, I got to talk about them. Everybody's going to beat them up. I've never seen anything that bad, and I've never seen a team have to talk about their special teams that much. And to say that, our kicker hasn't missed a kick this year, which is incredible. Like, this isn't just regular, oh, you can't kick. This is like, you don't do anything right on special teams, and that's where I have a problem with Cali. Like that's where I'm like, dude, you got to get out of your own way on this. Like, somebody else needs to interject and go, hey, we got to fix this. This is disgusting. Like, it's costing us games. It's going to keep costing us games. Like, it's going to be a problem for the rest of the year. So I say you got to do something, man. They're, all the players are looking at you. You got to do something.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, it's – can you imagine, Joe – because Corey's right. I mean, they gave up the punt return to get to the 50-yard line on the drive where New England goes down there and scores. Can you imagine what we're talking about today had the Titans lost that game in overtime as it relates to special teams?
Yeah, we're talking about that. And that's, I still feel bad earlier in the show. I forgot about that. But yeah, obviously, that's like the one time you have to cover a kick and you don't do it. And here's the thing, this is where, like, I will make a prediction because I'm still of my same mindset that I think this entire crew is coming back at the top in terms of, you know, GM, head coach, and Brinker's title, president, you know, whatever. Yeah. I think that crew is all coming back, but there will be firings. There will be changes on the staff, and I mean, Colt Anderson, to me, it's like, I think it's almost inevitable.
Foregone conclusion, yeah.
Yeah, but again, in-season firings, like, what are you doing? You are taking away someone who, granted, not doing good work, but still doing a lot of work, and so that person, then you're going to elevate that person's assistant, so... You know, what's that going to do for it? Yeah, they finally did it with Aukerman last year. But I've never, to me, the in-season assistant coach firing to me never made sense. Unless it's like just toxic, right? Like there's like people hate him in the building or like he's just completely, whatever, not showing up to work. I mean, yeah. Other than that, like you do it at the end of the year. And I just, obviously, this guy does not have a handle on putting together a quality special teams unit. There's no way at this point that you could conclude otherwise.
No, I mean, it's a total train wreck. And again, yesterday was better than Detroit. Put up almost any game in NFL history and it'll be better than Detroit. So that should not be the bar of what we're talking about. I mean, you had an illegal formation on the first kickoff of the game. I mean, it's what are we doing here? It just kind of is what it is at that point. So I agree with you. Like, I think Anderson is going to be a foregone conclusion to be out of here at the end of the year.
And he won't be the only one.
No, I still wonder, like, you know, Nick Holtz, could he be on the table? Like, there's a lot of things that could happen there. And again, we've gone through the schedule. Like, yesterday's win doesn't change a lot of the same questions that we're asking. Now, I think it's good for the players to change up what has got to be just the monotony of losing games and getting your head beat in every week. And certainly for Brian Callahan, I mean, you saw it. He was emotional after the game. It's a big win for Callahan, and I think it's one of those things where it's like, all right, you get a chance to breathe here for a little bit. But ultimately, I don't think the big picture with the questions this team is facing as a franchise moving forward, I don't know that really any of that changed yesterday with the win.
No, it really didn't. You know, it really comes down to a lot of the same issues and the same questions. And again, I still think that this season – is going to, at some point this season, we're going to get back to, okay, well, Levis, can you make any progress? Here's some more opportunity. And some people may not like that idea, but I mean, to me, that's got to be in the top of mind still, you know? And then you want to try to clean up some things. You want to try to figure out a way to like score some more points after halftime. They did do that some yesterday.
They did.
You want to at some point look like a professional football team on special teams, which I don't know that that's going to happen. Yeah, look, they're going to have challenges too. I mean, when it comes down to it, Cushenberry out and really both of them, if Quandre Diggs is, and it didn't sound good from what Callahan said yesterday, if he's, I mean, they're very thin at safety. Like, they're a beat-up, limited team that probably is going to trade another player before tomorrow. Although, you know, on that front, Robbie, I will say, like, I'm with Corey. Like, if you're getting just, like, a sixth or seventh, I'd rather have Arden Key as a depth guy, and this year as a starter, but, like, even as a possible depth guy than that, you know? Like, if you're getting fourth round or better, even a fifth, I, you know, that's something you talk about, but six and sevens, you know, at some point, yeah, you could combine a bunch of them to try to move up, but it's not going to do much for you.
Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt men's basketball. Commodores taking on Maryland Eastern Shore at Memorial Gym. Tip off at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. You can look forward to Joe Rexroad's scouting reports on Oglethorpe, who MTSU plays, and Maryland Eastern Shore, a little bit later in the program.
Oglethorpe from Georgia, by the way.
They are from the state of Georgia. Line. Thank you very much to the text line. We'll have more coming up with the Titans next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from Black Rabbit. Black Rabbit, a great spot to enjoy some Nashville vibes with craft cocktails, delicious food, and live music just steps from iconic venues. It's perfect for a night out. Snagging a $50 gift card for only $25, a fantastic way to experience it. So get yours now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have Preds pick the click coming up here in about 10 minutes. Preds in action tonight, taking on the LA Kings. Nice win for the Preds over the weekend, by the way, against the Colorado Avalanche. We'll get a little bit more into that coming up here in just a few minutes. Titans win 20-17 against the Patriots yesterday. They move to 2-6. Now, Joe, we've talked about this. I would describe the reaction that we've gotten on the text line today as borderline angry as the Titans getting the win yesterday. Now, it's not everybody. We've had some people that were excited to see the Titans win yesterday, but the Titans do, according to tankathon.com. I believe they're at the number 2 overall pick heading into the game yesterday. And with the win, they now join what is a very crowded list of teams in the National Football League that have 2 wins. The Patriots, Jacksonville, New Orleans, who's lost 7 in a row, by the way, Carolina, Cleveland, Las Vegas, the New York Giants, and the Miami Dolphins, along with the Tennessee Titans, have all won 2 games so far this year. A lot of those teams at 2-7, Titans and Dolphins are now at 2-6. So Titans go from the number 2 pick to now currently number 9, Joe Rexrode, according to tankathon.com. And that has some Titans fans very upset on the text line.
Yeah. Well, and look, and I look at those teams, and the Patriots are going to continue to be bad. Browns will continue to be bad. Browns are probably going to trade Zadarius Smith to the Lions today.
Yeah.
The Jags almost beat the Eagles yesterday. So, they're weird, but obviously they're down bad. The Raiders are terrible. The Giants are pretty freaking bad. I don't understand what happened. Remember the Saints after 2 weeks? We got some Saints fans listening to the program.
They looked unbelievable.
My goodness, were they excited. And it's just, I mean, the fact that they lost the Panthers, which screwed me over big time in Pigskin Pick'em. Well, what a terrible weekend on that front. The Panthers are terrible. By the way, just quick aside on that, I watched a decent amount of that game. You know, Bryce Young actually looks pretty good to me.
Hurting you? Why did you watch that game?
Well, you get YouTube TV, man. You get that 4
true.
Screens.
That's true.
You wrote. I had 2 different 4 screen combos. So that's. I mean, believe me, it was. You know, it wasn't a ton, but he looked pretty good. So I don't know. All those teams that we mentioned, other than, I mean, I think the Giants probably have a few wins in them, and the Jags, I still think probably do. The other ones have a real shot here to continue losing a lot. But we know the Titans' schedule is also. It's not very favorable, or it is favorable if you want them to lose. Like, obviously, Minnesota's way better than we thought they'd be this year. Washington's way, way better than we thought they'd be this year. Those are 2 games I had penciled in as wins going the season that right now should be L's for them, if that's what you're rooting for, Titans fans.
Well, there is that. And, look, there's also this, too. Like, I understand, and we've heard both sides of it today. If you're a fan out there that's given up on this season and you believe the quickest route to the Titans getting back into contention is a high draft pick, which presumably would go to a quarterback at that point, okay, that's fine. Like, I don't really fault you for feeling that way. That's fine. If you're a Titans fan that really enjoyed watching your football team on an NFL Sunday, of which you only get 17 per year, win a game yesterday, that's good too. Like, I don't really fault fans for feeling that way. One thing I will say is, like, sometimes having the number 1 pick, you know, it's a little bit overrated. Like, is there a huge difference for the Titans if they've got the number 3 pick instead of the number 1 pick? And you brought, like, right now the Patriots have the number 1 pick. Like, are the Patriots taking a quarterback next year after they just took Drake May? I would be surprised by that. So there's still so much time left and so many different options in terms of the order in which it could play out. Like, I don't know, I'd freak out yet if you're a Titans fan rooting for the number 1 overall pick. There's still plenty of opportunity there.
Yeah. Now, obviously, the last time that they turned this franchise around, they had it and they traded it, right? Yep. And so it turned into a lot of good football players for them. So that's why you'd want to. What you need then is you need the quarterback desperate team, and of those teams that we mentioned, there's several of them that could be. Yeah, I mean the Saints, you know the Giants maybe. I mean, are the Giants finally gonna? You know, the Raiders for sure.
Well, and who knows about the Panthers?
The Browns. Yeah, right.
Browns got a guy on the contract.
Well, that is true. They need a rookie who will actually play, who's cheap. But, then you have to have a QB at the top of the draft. Like, back then, it was Goff. You know, it was like, oh, my God, Jared Goff, who, by the way, is pretty good. I must say, here 8 years later, there's a guy who's been good, Super Bowl, bad, discarded, forgotten, and now he's really good again. But you have to have some at the top of the draft also that a team wants to trade up to get. It probably will happen because every year, unless it's an atrocious QB class like a couple of years ago, like someone gets built up to where people are like, oh my God, Shador or Cam Ward. I think we can probably get rid of the Carson Beck stuff.
Yeah,
right
he
now.
Doesn't look
my
very good.
My goodness. But anyway, yeah. I mean, it's better to be as high as possible, but to me, 3 or 5 or 7, you know, doesn't necessarily make that much difference.
I watched a lot of Cam Ward this weekend, Joe, because it just happened to be on as I was at Bridgestone doing some work. I'm starting to root for Cam Ward just because I think it would be wildly fun. It may not end up well, but it would be wildly fun.
You talk about someone who, you know, we've made the Levis comparison at times with, like, Favre, right? Like, gunslinger, just like, what are you doing? Cam Ward is like, there is some Brett Favre, like, throws that are incredible, and just arm slots and just, well, holy crap, that was a throw. And then what are you doing? Yeah, no, he is going to be an absolute roller coaster of fun wherever he goes.
No doubt about it. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Pret's Pick to Click coming up next. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Preds tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. Our final thoughts on the Titans 20-17 win against the Patriots coming up as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. 615-737-1025 now. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Los Angeles Kings. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock. Here on 1025-1063 the game. A standings update in the competition. The listeners have gotten themselves on the board after the Philip Forsberg pick last time out. So, Joe Rex Road remains in first place with 3 correct answers. The listeners, Nick Kieser, and myself, all tied with 1 correct answer for second place. So Rex Road leading the charge in the competition. With that in mind, let's go back to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kenny. Kenny, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
I got a good feeling about Forsberg.
Going with Philip Forsberg. Kenny, thanks for the call. Forsberg playing pretty well right now. Another goal the other night, empty netter. Scored some big goals for them over that stretch here recently. Forsberg off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I hope this guy gets off the schneid tonight. I mean, he's not done too much lately, guys, but give me Luke Evangelista.
Going with Luke Evangelista. Joe, I am up next. This guy broke through with a power play goal last time out. It was a howitzer off the goalie. And I think you might start to see him go in bunches for him. Give me Steven Stamkos. Forsberg, Evangelista, Stamkos off the board. Joe Rexrod, your pick to click.
Well, that was very nice of Nick to do that for you, because I agree with you.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I could go out on a limb since I'm winning, but I need a little more distance. I'm going to – you know what? He scored his first goal. I'm going to go with him again. How about Roman Josi?
He did. Speaking of howitzer, it's like 102 miles an hour from the slot the other night. Good shot by him. Forsberg, Evangelista, Stamkos, Josi. The selections in Preds Pick to Click. Preds in action tonight. By the way, nice win for them against Colorado. Parsonen playing with Stamkos and Marchessault, so some lineup shuffling the other night. Michael McCarron comes out. By the way, the numbers on the fourth line without Michael McCarron. Pretty darn good for the Preds on Saturday. So we'll see what that looks like. I would anticipate it's probably the same lineup tonight, but we'll see what happens on that front. But another big game for the Predators at home, needing a win against the LA Kings tonight. Joe, final thoughts on the Titans 20-17 win in overtime yesterday against the Patriots. I don't know how many more of these are coming this year. They do get the win. They improved to 2-6. Rudolph 20-33 for 240 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. I thought Tony Pollard was really good yesterday, 28 carries for a buck 28. Ridley with another game where he made some big plays, although he did have another drop yesterday that he's got to come down with. But some big plays by Ridley, NWI, your boy, 5 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown in the game. Overall, your thoughts on the Titans win and what this now signifies and means for Brian Callahan and the coaching staff specifically moving forward?
Yeah, they needed it badly. You know, they needed it badly. Brian Callahan needed they all. Again, it's not just the coaches. It's also these players who this game is violent. It's collisions. It's injuries. It's, to quote Vrabel, 100% injury rate. And losing sucks. I mean, for anybody who's remotely a competitor, losing sucks. It's awful. If you're good enough, you know, if you're playing at the highest level of professional sports, for the most part, 95%+ of those people are extremely high-level competitors, not just athletes. So they needed it. And that's, I think PK was a little preachy and a little bit scolding earlier, talking about fans rooting against the team, because I get it. You know, you want your team to have a high pick and you don't see a future in the playoffs for this team. And you're right, this team will not be in the playoffs. But you should understand that they're not tanking and that this was big for them. It wasn't very big for Colt Anderson. It still was just another bad week for him after an atrocious week and a bad press conference. But for the overall group, it was much, much needed.
Well, we all know tomorrow is a huge day in our country. And I'm, of course, referring to the NFL trading deadline that will take place at 3 p.m. Central Time tomorrow. I am interested to see, is there anybody else this week that could be on the move for the Titans? They've started to do it. You know, Ernest Jones gone. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins gone. You know, there's not a ton of time left here. But if you're, like, if you're the Lions, who looked great again yesterday, if you're a contender right now in the NFL, you got 2 days here to make a move. So I'm interested to see if there are any more Titans that are going to be involved with that. You know, Key is an interesting name. I guess you could still throw Harold Landry in there at this point, too. You know, I'd be surprised if they traded a Landry or a Simmons at this point, but you never know. You can't rule anything out. Interested to see if there are any more moves coming for the Titans between now and 3 o'clock Central Time tomorrow.
Yeah, Key seems like the most likely. I thought Quandre Diggs was maybe a guy, you know, someone could have an interest in out there that you could get maybe something for. I'm not ruling out, you know, something like a Landry or something like that. But again, that's going to, to me, require, I mean, Corey Curtis earlier talking about a fifth. No way, man.
No.
I mean, I know that I was out on a limb with this idea of the Lions being so desperate and having no other options that they throw a first, but I think he should get a second. I would not even, I mean, I'm not, I don't know that I'm moving him for a third.
Yeah.
Are you?
No. No, I don't think second would be. Because if not, I mean, he's still a viable part of your solution moving forward here.
Yeah, and like Corey said, I mean, you have to have players, and you have to have some good players, and it's okay to pay some people, you know, even though there is a salary cap that's a real. You know, tomorrow, real salary cap. Tomorrow, Robbie, is also huge for other reasons. You know, it is the first college football playoff rankings reveal tomorrow night, too.
It is.
So maybe we can delve in on that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what that looks like. I look forward to your breakdown tomorrow of Baylor and Gonzaga, which tips off at like 11:45 tonight. So looking forward to all that coming. Tomorrow's a big day. A lot of sports going on right now.
And tomorrow night, if you're watching the rankings reveal, and then after that, you know, you're like, what else should I watch that might be on television right now? I have your answer. Maction, Bowling Green at Central Michigan tomorrow night. All sports, so that's all you should watch tomorrow. That's my advice.
I agree. By the way, shout out to MTSU. The MTSU game was on this weekend, Joe. And the all-white get-up that they have with the white jersey, white pants, and those, like, matte white helmets that they wear, beautiful. Love them. MTSU is looking good down in UTEP this weekend.
Yeah, that looked good. You know what didn't look good?
Here we
go. The stupid dark mode uniforms. And then, like, the Kentucky was, like, some – it was like an arena game I was watching. It was like they were like a bad Lions uniform
You're
ripoff.
You're ancient. Just ancient. Dark mode uniforms are good.
They're
good.
Their jerseys, the orange and the white, that's why it's the orange and white. Those are awesome.
Where are those? I think they are moving forward. I don't think you're going to see any more of the old ones. We'll see how it goes. That does it for us today. Hope everybody has a marvelous rest of their day. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.